Well, I see Pastor here in the church. I'd like to welcome you this evening to our evening worship, and very glad to have CEF and their staff and their guests who are conducting really all the evening ministry for us this evening, so thank them for that. I appreciate that, and it's nice, and Henry's going to be speaking. Lovely to see Henry again, and so we look forward to our evening together. Going all the way back to that very first day, we read in the scriptures that on the evening of that first day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you."
Well, good evening, everyone. I smiled when I looked at the program. Low in the grave he lay, Henry Berry, CEF. Well, I want to assure you tonight that I'm very much alive, and I praise God that I'm alive in Christ tonight, and that makes all the difference, isn't it? And I'm really delighted tonight to be here with Stephen and Pamela, who are part of Madeline and I's team, and also great to have Sarah and Esther from Italy. Just for the benefit of those who do not know the region of Southwest Europe in which we as a team are now working, we cover 9 countries: Ireland, Britain, Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, France, Spain, Italy, Portugal. Difficult, but not impossible. A difficult mission field. When I was in Madrid, I saw this man, and he was in midair. And I thought to myself, that looks so difficult. And I began to stare at him, make faces at him, try to tell him Irish jokes, try to make him fall, but he just continued to be balanced. And then I worked out how he was able to do a difficult thing that seemed impossible. Difficult, but not impossible. When I think of some of the workers and the situations in which they're working in Southwest Europe, we see difficult situations, but not impossible. Difficult, but not impossible. This is Elizabeth Staley, who for many years have worked in Italy. She is retiring. I met with the national board. They said, "Henry, what are you going to do? Because we'll have no workers." And I said, "Well, what are we going to do? It's not what I'm going to do. What are we going to do? It's a collective corporate responsibility." And I suggested that we did promotional meetings all over Italy and promoted the CMLC and the work and promoted literature and so on. The committee got very excited. The outcome of that was 2 weeks of deputation meetings throughout Italy that were arranged. What was the outcome of that? Between the meetings and people like Sarah and Esther talking to their friends, and also pastors being made aware by the local committee, we praise the Lord. Even though things looked so difficult, it was not impossible, because God called 10 young people to take the CMLC at Kilsimmer and 2 in Romania. And we praise the Lord now, we have a team of 5 workers and 2 trainees in Italy. Difficult, but not impossible. When we think also of Spain, we did similar. Paul Reid, myself, Fernando, went round Spain. We promoted the work in churches and also in homes. We spoke to pastors. And the result of that was students taking the CMLC. And already we have 2 new workers in the work, and also 2 of the CMLC Children's Ministry Leadership Course students who are on the Madrid committee. New workers in Britain. People think that Britain is a difficult mission field. Stephen and I, this day week, God willing, will be in Wales at the Word of Life conference. There'll be between 3,000 and 5,000 believers at that Word of Life conference. Britain is not difficult, nor is it impossible to reach the children there. God has called Claudine. She has started in Middlesbrough. She's doing teacher training, direct outreach. She's promoting the work and also has formed a committee. In London, there are 300 different languages in London alone. And this is Eunsuk, who's been working there for years. She is from South Korea. She is reaching Gypsy children, Irish children, and North Korean children in London. The Lord has said, go into all the world, and he's bringing the world to us. We praise the Lord for what he's doing in France. This is Francois Desailles, who's worked there for a number of years. Francois sang in the Catholic choir. She loves singing. She met an English man in France who said, will you come and live with me in England? She said, yes. She got to England, and by the mercy of God, she found out he was a con man. But there she was standing in England, and she heard the singing in a church. And she went into the evangelical church, and praise God, that night she got saved. And she went back to France, she grew in the Lord, she went to Bible college, and she was saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? And someone gave her that book, My Utmost for His Highest, and the reading that day was to do God's will. She says, Lord, I want to do your will, but what do you want me to do? And somebody had put a flyer that CEF needed an accountant, and she's a trained accountant in the office there in France. Difficult, but not impossible. Here's a beautiful family from Brazil serving the Lord in Africa. Tribal warfare breaks out. They have to leave everything. Just leave their home. Get onto a plane. They end up in France. They're on fire for God. They love the Lord. They're serving the Lord. There was difficult circumstances, but not impossible. They're continually serving the Lord. A lovely young couple in the Netherlands who are taking charge of the City Kids Outreach. I was with them recently, and to see the zeal and the passion and the desire for them to reach out with the team is excited about this project, and they've already planned 3 Teaching Children Effectively courses and plan to go into 5 cities in the Netherlands. Difficult, but not impossible. This girl, Clara, has worked in the stores for many years, 20 years. On Tercey and other Azorean islands. On the 18th of June, there'll be a new camp center opened in Tercey. Clara met this woman who had recently gone away from the Lord, was nowhere with God, had a desire to come back to God, and brings very, very needy, poor children into her home. And Clara is teaching those children and that woman. And then she goes to the Portuguese pastor in the place of Tercia, where there's a local church, and she brings these children, and she says, can I bring these children to your church? He says, I don't want that type of child in my church. Difficult, but not impossible. Every Sunday morning, she travels 30 kilometers in her car to pick those children up and to bring them to her church. Difficult, but not impossible. How wonderful it was to walk, get off a plane, go into the school, and have 130 children in that Catholic school being taught in a non-residential camp. And here is Hosea teaching them the gospel of Christ. This was the first time these children ever heard the gospel. And it was amazing to hear their questions about God and sin and Jesus and salvation and grace and the church and everything. First time. Difficult, but not impossible. 1 million Meet the King books have been distributed in France. The man to my left was saved through an Irish man preaching the gospel in a street in France. The Irish man probably doesn't know about that. This man is now, who got saved, a leader in the church. And I was involved in this outreach with Johann Blumhoff and others, 6 hours south of France, in that little local church where there is no other church within 400-mile radius. And we were able to knock on doors and evangelize the children. 1 million Meet the King booklets in France. And in the birthplace of John Calvin, every home was knocked, every hamlet visited, and many reached with the gospel. And through that outreach, there's now a local church worshiping in a hotel in the birthplace of John Calvin in France. Difficult, but not impossible. And we give God all the praise and glory.
Which brings us to our part in the whole proceedings. And it's nice to be able to share that with you this evening. Stephen and Pamela Garrett, we have been involved in Christian ministry over a number of years, for about 14 years as a pastor in two local churches within Northern Ireland. And then in 2011, the Lord very definitely called us to come to the work of CEF. And so we did that. And in 2012, we were appointed as team leaders for the team of missionaries in Belfast. And God settled us there, and God blessed us there. He certainly allowed us 3.5 years, a real privilege to work with the folks on that team and the other volunteers within the city. Last night, Philip Bannett was speaking about his own situation, he and Denise, and he began by speaking about that idea of God speaking to us, that he's still speaking to us, and I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I think we always should be listening for God's voice. Sometimes he begins speaking to us by unsettling us. I've just said that we were settled and blessed in Belfast, and we were, but God began to unsettle us, probably going back to 2014 or thereabouts. I had the privilege of going to visit in Korea, where Jeremiah is from, and then going on to the Philippines to speak with the CEF workers there. And God really began to unsettle me. But I knew that both in Korea and the Philippines, there were national workers better able to do the job than we could do. So we settled again and carried on in Belfast. But over really a year or thereabouts, there were various points at which God seemed to be still saying to us, this is not as far as I want you to go. I have further that I want to take you. And so eventually we did what maybe a wise person would do to begin with. We went and we spoke with the folks who were then leading the mission with Philip Bannett and shared with him what was happening in our lives. And he very graciously listened to us and he began to talk with us. But he began to talk with us about Southwest Europe. There was only one problem. I think it was maybe Jeremiah who said he had no intention of going to the Middle East countries, a very dangerous thing to do. My immediate reaction was that we didn't really want to go to Southwest Europe. I mean, the gospel has been readily available in Europe, has it not, for many centuries? Southwest Europe is somewhere that you go to holiday. But God began to speak to us. He began to show us something different to that. Began to open our eyes to the needs in the countries of the Southwest region. And you know, I was shocked to discover that the team that we were leading in Belfast is actually numerically and in many ways stronger than most of the national teams in the countries that were mentioned this evening. And God began to challenge us about the vast amount of children that there are in Europe and the vast amount of children that are flooding into Europe because of the refugee crisis. And so when Henry and Madeleine Berry began to speak with us in the autumn time about seriously considering the possibility of coming and assisting them in the work in Southwest Europe, we really had to think about it. But still, it was a pressured decision. We were happy in Belfast. The team in Belfast was growing and getting stronger. Strategies were falling into place to take us forward in ministry in the future. One day we were thinking and talking about all these things. We were praying about them. And I walked into my office and the laptop pinged, indicating that a message had come through, an email, and it was the memory verse that our European director, Gerfalter Buskies, sends out to the European workers. And the memory verse that he had sent through on that particular day was Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. You'll know that verse. It says, "Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one else is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." And it was the first two words of that verse that really spoke to me. Behold, I had actually been thinking, maybe this is my imagination. Have I actually fantasized this idea in my mind that I want to go somewhere else? Maybe leadership have placed this in my mind. Maybe Henry and Philip, they have thought of this idea. But those two words answered the prayer of my heart when God said, "Behold, I have opened this door of opportunity." And I ran from the office to Pam to share that verse with her. And as she so often does, she more or less said, "Well, that's it now." It was her who kind of had those words back in 2011 when we joined CEF and we were on our knees and we got the verse which said, "Be strong and courageous and do it." And again, on that occasion, she said, "Well, that's it. We have to do it." And it really boiled down to that. It boiled down to a question of obedience. And in a sense, how foolish for us to believe that we could open a door of opportunity ourselves. This really is the commencement of our ministry with Henry and Madeline this evening. Mind you, having said that, we have been betwixt and between since January. I've had the privilege of visiting a number of the countries with Henry, meeting workers, national leaders, national boards. I've been to Britain and to Spain, to Portugal and to Belgium. And on the one hand, I have been completely blown away by the great potential that there is in each of these countries, the potential in terms of the workers, of the mission field. And on the other hand, I can see that there are problems and difficulties. It is difficult, but not impossible. How can we meet these problems? How can Pam and I help to meet these problems? We haven't got any instant solutions. We haven't got immediate strategies. We haven't got resources in terms of finance. But the answer is quite simple. Though we have nothing really in and of ourselves to bring these countries except ourselves, we know that God is willing to take us and to use us for his glory. But we need your prayers tonight, and I'm appealing to you for that. Prayers for safety in travel. As many of you know, Henry and I flew out of Brussels on Monday evening, just about 12 hours before the attacks that took place there. We need your prayers for wisdom. Wisdom as we advise national leaders and boards about how to move forwards in the work in their particular countries. And remember Pam. Pam will largely be at home with Andrew and with the family. She has a responsibility there. Pray for her. Some of you may think it an advantage as she gets used to me being around less and less. We find ourselves tonight really in a situation we didn't expect. We had never really envisaged that we would be anything other than workers and missionaries in Ireland. But just like Philip and Denise last night, we now discover that we are missionaries being sent out from Ireland, and that excites us very much. And we would ask you to stand with us. As has been said from the front here before, we are very much in need of prayer and of finances as well. The demands that were upon us in Belfast financially are greatly increased as we seek to travel within the countries of the Southwest. And we certainly don't have a ministry account that can sustain that at present. We need ministry partners, folks who will stand with us, folks who will see that vision and that potential for the countries of Southwest Europe. And maybe God could use you in that regard. But we thank you for your prayers and for all that you mean to us tonight. Thank you. Now, we have some folks from Italy with us this evening, and I'm going to invite Esther to come up first of all. And Esther and Sarah, you have seen around, and usually you see them together, but we thought you can maybe only get the truth if you separate them and see them one at a time. And I have heard that you, Esther, come from Sicily, and the only thing I know about Sicily is that the mafia comes from Sicily. So maybe we need you to tell us, are you part of the mafia?
No.
No, oh good, that's great. Esther is part of the folks that we have been speaking about, that God has raised up in the country of Italy. The work had really disappeared. Humanly speaking, you would say, shut shop, go away, just leave it. What has been, has been. But you see, God always has a future and a purpose. I'm going to ask Esther some questions about her. Sarah will follow in a minute, and she'll maybe say a little bit more about the work. But I want you, Esther, if you will tell us the family you were born into and how you came to be a member of God's family.
Yes. Good evening, everybody. For me, it's a privilege. To be here this evening. And so I thank you, God. I was born in one Christian family, so I got a lot of Bible teaching. Of course, I knew so many stories about the Bible and different Bible verses, but I never asked Jesus to come in my heart. So when I was 6 years old, I was really sick. I had one serious problem in the stomach, and the doctor said I have to die. And so I spent a long time in the hospital with my parents. And during this time, my father, especially my father, spoke to me about God, about Jesus. And I knew everything, but I know I'm not ready. I wasn't ready for die. Of course, I didn't know I have to die, but my parents know. And so my father encouraged me every time. And one day I opened my heart to God, to Christ, because I knew I need one savior, one senior for my life. And so the plan for my life from God was different, because now I live. And I was healed, and I was really happy. But after, when I started the primary school, I passed one difficult time, because I got from my class and my teacher the bullies. I don't know if you know them. So I was isolated for a long time, all my primary school. And for me it was really difficult, because I had doubt about the love from God, because anybody loved me. And so I thought God can't love me. But one day, during one service, I listened again one message, one message, and about the grace and love from God. And I remember I cry, and I confirm again my decision for God. I was really happy. And this time I decided, when I became adult, I want to serve God. And yes.
Okay, that's fairly good for a girl who would tell me she doesn't speak English at all. She's told you quite a bit, hasn't she? And wonderful how God saved her and then really confirmed that and brought her back to himself. You're standing here this evening. You have been trained by CEF. You're thinking about a work with CEF. Can you just tell me very quickly how you came into the work, or how you came to know of the work of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Italy?
Okay. So when I finished my studies, I got the degree. I worked for a few few years in a normal job, but I'm not felt really realize my life. I remember that I wanted to serve God, and so I asked God to share His will for my life. And 2 years ago, I met the CF, and for me was one answer from God, because my studied was for help before for help the children that have the problem, the mental and physical or family problem, but I understood I wanted to help the children for the most need is know God, know Jesus. And so after when I met CF, I did the course in Kirchzimmer. And so I moved from Sicily, and I worked for 2 years 2 years in the national office in the North Italy with Lisbeth. And so.
Yeah, we don't tell any more because Sarah is the one who's going to come to tell a little bit. And I think she'll be telling you of what the girls are now envisaging and doing in the weeks that follow. But thank you very much, Esther, for sharing with
thank
us this
you.
Evening. And it's been a privilege to have you here at conference. I'm going to invite Sarah to come up and to share. She has been engaging already in work with the boys and girls in Italy, and there are plans that lie ahead. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Can you still bear with Italian accent? Okay, good. All right, and also with my voice, because I got a cold, so sorry. Just to say, I have worked with the children for quite a few years. I started in 1996 when I was working alongside a CF, a trained CF worker in South Italy. But after the Lord allowed me to go to England, and I lived in England for 3.5 years, was working and studying there. And then for 3 years I was training in a Bible college, missionary training college in Holland. So after this time, actually, the Lord gave me opportunity also to stay 1 month in India to work with children from the slum areas. And after, really the Lord narrowed my calling in a way. You know, He prepared me, trained me, and then He called me into... He showed me that I should do the CMLC course, Children Ministry Leadership course in Kirchzimmer in Switzerland. So I went there in 2012, and I stayed there for 2012 and 2013. I was split in two. And and when I was there, it was a very good time. Many of the things were... I already knew some of the things, but many of the things were very, very helpful. And while I was there, God really spoke to me with a verse that I want to read it to you. In Luke 9, verse 62, and he says, Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." And I knew that I had put my hands to the plow. I was already working with children in the past, and I needed to carry on with that. So that was my challenge from God. So when I came back home, back to South Italy, the Lord placed a burden on my heart to open up again some good news clubs in the area where there used to be in the past. So just to show you a little bit about Italy. Okay. Now you can see this is Italy. This is the boot land. Yeah, it's the boot. So you can see the national office is there up north. It's very far away from everything else. But this is Esther's hometown in Sicily, just so that you know, because many people were asking where. And this is my hometown there. It's in the south of Italy. And God gave me the grace. It's only by God's grace, as Jeremiah was saying, that 3 years ago I could open three good news clubs in three different towns. And these are some of the children that I train. there are three different towns, and as you know, in Italy, there is 85-86% of the population is Catholic, and only 1% they are evangelical Christians. So it's very, very tough to just really have children from non-Christian homes to come to church hall or to a public place or to a home to do have clubs. But God gave us the grace to see those children, and they are coming every week. So there are three Good News clubs already. They're being run right now, I mean, while I'm here in Ireland. And yes, we do a lot of mission clubs as well, because these children don't know much about mission. I think you know that story there. It's Amy Carmichael. It sounds familiar to you. So, and I was sharing about it because I have India on my heart as well. And God gave me also opportunity to see some teenagers, teenagers clubs, and it's really great to see some of them really have given their life to Jesus. Especially, I don't know if I can point. Can I point here? This girl there, and this boy, yes. And we are waiting for the other one to give her life to Jesus. But yes, it's God gave me also opportunity, because of course these people, the co-workers are working with me, they don't know anything about teaching children. So they said, no, we cannot do it. So, but we learned in this conference, it's difficult, but not impossible. So I believed it was not impossible. So I said to them, you can do it. And thanking God, we did a teacher training class, and now they are carrying on by themselves. So that's a real answer from God. I praise God for each one of them. Of course, they said to me, come back soon, but I said, you can do it without me, it's okay. So, and we also do also some children's summer outreach. Yes, in the middle of a square, you know that in Italy it's quite hot. Usually in the summer we reach 40 degrees, so we can just have children's program in the streets. In one particular event, this was 2 years ago, well, we use puppets as well, and excuse me. And 2 years ago, we had this beautiful holiday Bible club in one of these towns. And after the clubs finished, the people that went to mass, the priest said in occasion, the workers, they told me that, the priest said, don't go there anymore. This is rubbish stuff. So, just forbid the people from the town to go to these clubs. But praise God, the club is going on, and there are children there coming. And this is amazing. I mean, many children come, especially when you do this outreach at open air. But one of the things that I really want to praise God, the outcome of this, well, of these clubs going on in Italy, in one of these places, a family is coming to the Lord. And just before I came here, beginning of February, we invited them for a meal, and the daddy, this man there, we were eating, and after we were singing together, and he just burst out in tears. And you know, it's amazing to see. And they are very, very Catholic as people. So for us, it's an answer to prayer. We don't have 40, 50, 60 children coming. We have 10 to 15 children every time. And for me, it's great, because in Italy, this is fantastic, especially in south part of Italy. Please pray for Italy, because it's a needy country, even though it's in Europe. For the vision for, yeah, we have also summer camps, as you can see. But the vision for the next, the next summer for me and Esther, God willing, we want to, by God's grace always, we would like to move to the central part of Italy, opposite Rome, to this coast, probably. And we want to open a center, CF center, where we want to be available for the Italian churches and to open a local direct work. It would be not easy, I think, but we know it's difficult, but not impossible. So we believe that... as you heard before, there's only one worker, CF worker, and she's going to be retired soon. Lisbeth, we praise God for what she could do, but we want to continue as a new, fresh team to continue God's work in Italy. So please pray for us. This is the three of us that are being accepted by CF at the moment, but there is also family that came along more recently. So please pray for us. Thank you very much.